Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
CBS News, that's what's happening. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Sucker punched today on Wall Street after most of the day seesawing a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up. In the final minutes, the sellers dropped the hammer. The Dow lost 189 points, NASDAQ 14.5. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says help is coming. The rescue plan will pump billions into the economy in the next several weeks.
We're going to be working to unclog the system. We're going to be buying mortgage and mortgage-related assets, and we're going to be working to avoid foreclosures.
It's going to take several weeks for the Fed to begin the process of buying up these bad assets. In the meantime, you know, you're not seeing many signs that the credit markets are starting to move. I mean, basically, banks are still not lending to each other, which means credit's not getting around, which means businesses are going to struggle to get money, the capital they need to keep going.
CBS's Anthony Mason. In short, the banks seem to be waiting for the money to start showing up before they decide to have a little faith. The campaign trail had both presidential candidates talking about the economy today.
Barack Obama went to Indiana, a state that's gone Republican in recent elections, but one he hopes to win.
You know, back in 1980, Ronald Reagan asked whether you were better off than you were 4 years ago. At the pace things are going right now, you're going to have to ask whether you're better off than you were 4 weeks ago.
John McCain went with Sarah Palin to a state he's hoping to keep from slipping away.
Pennsylvania will have a great role in determining the next president of the United States. I need your vote.
With 4 weeks to go, McCain is hoping he can surge in the polls. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
We need you.
There is some good news on the economy, by the way. Housing improved in August by a number that surprised the experts. Homes under contract for sale were expected to go down. They went up 7.4%. While we've been looking east toward Wall Street off the Pacific coast of Mexico, Norbert has become a powerful, dangerous hurricane.
Currently, Norbert has been rapidly strengthening during the last 24 hours, is now a Category 4 hurricane. In the longer term, the storm could pose a threat to portions of Baja California and northwestern mainland Mexico.
Jack Bevan at the National Hurricane Center. There's a new test to gauge your risk of breast cancer. It's simple, a saliva swab or a blood sample to check for DNA markers.
This kind of test is where we certainly hope the future of genetics will go in being able to identify individuals who may be at a higher or a lower risk for particular diseases.
Joan Scott at Johns Hopkins, the only problem with the test is it's pricey, about $1,500. The Natalie Holloway story is in pre-production in Birmingham, Alabama. Beth Holloway wrote a book about her daughter's disappearance and presumed murder. Lifetime TV's making the book into a movie. It's been one of America's most intensely followed mysteries since Aruba 2005. Wall Street, the Dow, down 189 points on this day. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil filter.
As the filter, I'm used to everything sort of going through me. So why are we here?
Oh, sorry, oil filter. We're at the Ford dealership to get the Works Fuel Saver Package.
The Works Fuel Saver Package, yes, I've heard of it. It has a special low price now?
Right, $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Yes, rebate. And this includes tire rotation.
Yep, at any Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer. It can help with fuel economy.
Yes, fuel economy. And a battery test and a brake inspection. Inspection, fluid top-off, multi-point inspection.
Check, check, check.
And a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change. Very comprehensive.
That's right. Oh, and a new oil filter, too, of course.
Of course. A new what?
A new oil filter.
Get your hands off me, Ford train technician! Where are you taking me? Tell the world my story!
For the lowest price in years on maintenance packages, brakes, batteries, and more, see your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer or visit GenuineService.com. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 11:30:08.
Going on a stress reduction junket after getting a bailout from the government has AIG on everyone's ugly list in Washington.
It's one of the strongest condemnations issued at the White House lectern. Press Secretary Dana Perino denounced insurance giant AIG for spending $440,000 on a luxury getaway for some of its people just days after it was rescued from bankruptcy by federal funds.
And I understand why the American people would be outraged. I am. It's pretty despicable.
Perino says Americans don't fault success, but in her words, rewarding failure is something we have a very hard time swallowing. Mark Knoller, CBS News, The White House.
Police admit the cop car slammed into the rear of the pumpkin wagon in Grand Rapids, Ohio, like a pumpkin avalanche. So many pumpkins went splat in the intersection it closed traffic and took 3 hours to clean up. Minor injuries for the police officer. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Most weekends, going to the mall could help you change your wardrobe or home for the better. But this weekend, it could change your whole life. Because this weekend, you can experience a major breakthrough in sleep technology. The Sleep Number Bed, an innovative revolution in comfort that can offer no less than a wonderful night's sleep for an individual or a couple, simply because you control your total comfort. Everyone can discover their Sleep Number at a select comfort store. It's fast, fun, and free. Visit us this weekend to discover your Sleep Number on our newest, most advanced sleep systems with temperature control materials. What can happen when you find that number? Well, among other things, a perfect night's sleep for the rest of your life. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
Now through Columbus Day, October 13th, choose cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 years with approval on our entire line of beds. Or save $500 on the new Sleep Number Memory Foam Queen Bed Set. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So the major party choice boils down to the angry old man or that one. Well, it's easy for me. I'll take that one. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, you are in the bees. I'm dressed up with a lion and the grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. That tough is tough.
Just 3 hours to take on some of the most important issues before us. We'll do our best. Paul Waldman from Media Matters will join me in a moment to kick things off. John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, will join us later this hour. He was in Nashville for the town hall bait, not quite a debate, a little bit of bait and switch. And some people, one pair of columnists at Politico said this is the worst debate ever. Well, we'll chew that over with John Nichols a little bit later this hour. Next hour, two people I think you'll find fascinating. Van Jones is an inspiring individual who's trying to fight for social justice and build a green economy all at the same time. And he's just been signed up as a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's got a new book coming out called The Green Collar Economy, and we'll talk with him about an hour from now. Then Kelly Campbell, you've never heard of her. I hadn't. She wrote a post at Huffington Post yesterday, where she explains her brother-in-law was killed on 9/11. His funeral was a month later, the day we began bombing Afghanistan. She offers a plea for a new approach to Afghanistan, and we'll talk with her about that. Plus, the intercepted cable over this past weekend. The British and French diplomats in Kabul saying it's a lost cause, and we're now part of the problem, and the best possible outcome, an acceptable dictator. Also on today's program, we're going to pause to talk with David Wheeler in the Free Speech Zone. That's in our third and final hour. He is offering a service refinancing mortgages for people whose homes are underwater, And he'll describe that for us and tell you how you can participate if you need that. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can call in toll-free at any time. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. That's 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Paul Waldman joins me now. He's at Media Matters, co-author with David Brock of the book Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And I've got to start off asking your reaction to McCain's performance in the debate last night, Paul.
Well, it certainly doesn't seem as though it somehow changed the nature of the presidential race. You know, oftentimes in these debates, what we look for is that decisive moment, the one thing that kind of encapsulates it, and then everyone will repeat over and over again. Mm-hmm. And eventually, it becomes the only thing we remember about that debate. I mean, if I asked you, you know, what do you remember about the first debate between Al Gore and George Bush, probably you'd say, well, I remember that he was supposed to have sighed a lot, Al Gore was, but probably the only thing you remember. Well, the only thing that works.
I remember the lockbox.
Right, because that was parodied on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly.
What people are going to remember about this one eventually is the fact that John McCain referred to Barack Obama as that one.
Yeah.
And it's not that in and of itself it's so, I think, so terribly offensive, but it just kind of, I think, encapsulated for a lot of people the kind of contempt that McCain obviously has for Obama. I mean, when I heard it, you know, people put a lot of different interpretations on it. It sounded to me like something that that a grandfather says about the one grandchild he doesn't really like. You know, that one's nothing but trouble,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. So I think that you know, there are a lot of you can see from the Obama campaign now they're talking about McCain as being increasingly, I think grumpy is not the word that they use, but something like that. And you do really get that sense from McCain. What it's reminding me of is, I'm sure you remember, in 1996, as Bob Dole's campaign was going down in flames, at one point he was so frustrated with people that, with the fact that people didn't share his dislike for Bill Clinton that one day he started to say, "Where's the outrage?" And nobody was really outraged at Bill Clinton in 1996. They thought he was doing a pretty good job. And you can kind of sense that same sort of frustration from McCain. He obviously thinks that Obama is not qualified and doesn't deserve to be president, and he seems to be very frustrated by the fact that the rest of the country doesn't share his contempt.
The other thing is I believe he required a great deal of self-control because he's been programmed with all these slime comments and smear comments that Sarah Palin is effectively delivering. Do we really know who Barack Obama is and Bill Ayers and all of these guilt by association tactics that they're attempting to use? And McCain had to discipline himself because he knew that it wasn't appropriate to try to inject those comments, if you will, into a debate proceedings. So he had to limit himself and, I think, censor himself. And when he said that one, I think it was part of that struggle. You agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was obviously more restrained than the two of them have been of late. You know, we see this usually with Republican campaigns are about identity. And almost every 4 years, they try to characterize the Democratic candidate as someone who's not really one of us, who you can't trust, who's a little dangerous, who's somebody who's alien in some way. The difference this time is that they're being much more explicit about it. You know, you have Sarah Palin going out and saying, Barack Obama doesn't see America the way you and I see it.
Yeah.
Now, that's a pretty explicit attack on his patriotism. There's no plausible deniability there. They're saying that he doesn't love the country as much as they do. And, you know, all of this stuff with Bill Ayers is an attempt to say, well, you know, he's consorting with terrorists. He's just not one of us. The trouble is that strategy can work in and had certainly has worked in previous years at a time when there aren't other incredibly pressing issues that seem really urgent. The problem the McCain campaign is facing right now is that we have this economic meltdown that's happening, and they understand very well that every day that the public spends talking and thinking about that, it's McCain's fortunes grow more and more dim. And so they are trying to talk about something else and to make it a kind of a referendum on whether or not you can trust Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it doesn't seem to be taking hold.
But the media is complicit in this. They are repeating the smears and the false comments of Sarah Palin. The newspapers will critique them and say, well, you know, that's not really true. But on television, it's just, you know, allowed to be blasted out there. And sure, some commentators will say that it's half-truths and stretches the truth and that sort of thing. But we don't have real direct pushback from electronic media on this. And at the same time, as Media Matters has pointed out, they don't allow the, you know, reporting on the same types of connections that John McCain has. The lobbyists, G. Gordon Liddy, in a report that Media Matters issued just today. These are people who McCain is much closer to than Bill Ayers, yet the Ayers stuff is allowed to circulate largely uncriticized.
Yeah, and that's something we've observed. I mean, G. Gordon Liddy is someone who is, in the phrase that the McCain campaign uses, an unrepentant terrorist. He absolutely is. Not only is he a convicted felon, but he plotted to murder Jack Anderson, the famous columnist. He plotted to firebomb the Brookings Institution. He was planning acts of terrorism. And somehow he's been rehabilitated. Now he has a radio show. And John McCain goes on his radio show and praises his commitment to American values and talks about what a great friend he is to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even something anyone in the press bothers to ask about. You know, I think that you're right that there are instances in which news organizations have tried to correct some of the false things that have been out there. But, you know, it reminds me of something that one of George H.W. Bush's aides said in 1988. He was confronted with some of the things that Bush had said in a debate that weren't true when in one of his debates against Michael Dukakis. And he said, well, you know, you can say something in a debate and 50 million people hear it. And so there's a correction in the New York Times the next day. How many people read that? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that's the philosophy that campaigns go by. If they can get away with telling a lie, they will.
And what is your thought? Because I thought that Obama was too restrained in this session again last night. And I think that at some point he should have brought up the way he is being attacked and smeared by McCain and Palin and really confronted McCain and said, stop lying about my record. Stop questioning my patriotism. Now, some people believe that that gives currency to the charges, but I really think that unaddressed, these things multiply out there, particularly in red states.
Yeah. You know, I've heard a similar sentiment from a lot of progressives in recent days. They watch these debates and want Obama to really stick it to McCain and challenge him in as forceful a way as possible on some of those things. Judging from the way he's been acting in these debates, I think the thing that they have decided from a strategic perspective, the Obama campaign, is that what he needs to do is to communicate that he's solid and knowledgeable and reassuring, and people don't need to be afraid of him, because after all, that's what the McCain campaign is trying to argue, that you need to be afraid of him. So they've obviously made the decision that he's going to be very restrained and cool, and not get into that kind of a direct confrontation. You know, you can certainly see the wisdom of it as a political strategy. I know that there are a lot of people who are supporters of Obama who it makes them very frustrated because they want to see him hit right back as hard as he's being hit.
And we saw Bush and Kerry not properly fight back against, did I say that right? We saw Gore and Kerry, that's what I meant, not really fight back against the scurrilous charges that came from Bush and Cheney. And so that's the sinking feeling I have, is that while the overnights and even the week later accounts give Obama the win in both of these debates, my fear is that the last 3 weeks of the campaign, when there are no more debates and it's all television 30-second hit pieces, that those things will be able to sink in and it'll be very hard to respond.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at Obama, what's characteristic of the way that he has campaigned is that he's not somebody who wields a club. He's somebody who practices the soft art of jujitsu, let's say, that he turns his attacks against his attackers without coming out and hitting them hard. You know, it's been effective for him so far. I guess we'll see over the next 4 weeks if it continues to be effective. But the other thing about him that I think is something that that campaign professionals are admiring of is the way that his campaign is always seems to be focused on the long term. They have a plan. They're implementing it. They have a message. They take the day's events and incorporate them into that fundamental message that they've been offering over and over and over again for the entire duration of the campaign. And they're not as consumed by the news cycle as, for instance, the McCain campaign seems to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the McCain campaign seems to think that if they can get the press to talk about Bill Ayers for a day, then somehow they've won, even if it then serves to undermine the argument that they're making and reinforce an argument that Obama's making.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return. Paul Waldman with us from Media Matters. As we continue, we're going to talk about a recent column he wrote about a very important issue. The election, less than a month away now, will it be an honest election? If you want to comment, you can join me now. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
It's almost time for KidFest, a weekend of interactive games, live entertainment, music, toys, crafts, contests, activities, and hundreds of prizes. It's all happening at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, October 11th and 12th. Meet Winnie the Pooh, Bart Simpson, Simba, the KidFest Bunny, and many more of your favorite characters. And the first 400 kids in line each day get a free KidFest t-shirt. KidFest Saturday and Sunday, October 11th and 12th, from 11 to 4 p.m. at the Monterey County Fairgrounds.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo Trustee on November 4th.
I'm Soquel resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, Soquel, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a Soquel Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays,
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's available to you all the time, mediamatters.org, and the elves are working overtime there, trying to monitor all the media madness and the half-truths, misstatements out there and hold people to the record. So there's excellent work there happening every 20 minutes, maybe even more. Paul, you wrote a column this week that I really want to underscore, really hits home on an important set of issues. Every Friday, we spend an hour on this show talking about election integrity issues. And at the end of the 2006 cycle, we thought about dropping that because, oh, well, you know, who wants to talk about elections when there isn't an election coming up? But there's never a shortage of issues to talk about in the way our elections are conducted. And as local and state elections occur, we see anomalies and outright bizarre things that occur with electronic voting machines and other techniques. And one of the big concerns is that the Democratic Party is not really prepared for a major meltdown on November 4th.
Yeah, and it still never ceases to amaze me that in the United States of America, the oldest democracy on earth, we have no real assurance that we'll be able to go to the polls, we'll be allowed to go in and vote, and then once we do, our vote will actually be counted. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. Other countries do it. There's no reason why we can't do it, too. But there are all kinds of problems. And of course, at the root of this is the fact that one of the two political parties decides every year that they're going to try to make it as difficult as possible for people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a core of the strategy, and it ranges from things like legal moves, like passing laws that demand that you have to have a driver's license to vote, which a lot of people don't, down to the really illegal, nasty, dirty trick stuff, things like distributing flyers in black neighborhoods telling people that if they have any unpaid parking tickets and they try to vote, they're going to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And you have everything, the entire spectrum in between. And one of the ironies of it, of what's happening this year, is that, you know, as most of us know, the Obama campaign has put on a really extraordinary organizing effort, maybe unprecedented. There have been millions of new voters who have been registered, and turnout is going to be, we don't know exactly how high, obviously, but it's going to be extremely high, and this is going to make it even more difficult. You know, people may remember the incredible problem they had in Ohio with lines where people stood out in the rain for hours in 2004 trying to vote. Well, what's going to happen this time? You're going to have all these new registrants. You're going to have election places where they may not have enough ballots. You're going to have, in a lot of places, you know, they're constantly upgrading the machines. They may have new machines. The average age of a poll worker is 72, and a lot of older people are not really good with technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every voter who comes in and they turns out they're not on the voter rolls, or maybe they're being challenged by some Republican lawyer, that ends up holding up the line, and so you're going to get these problems kind of multiplying over the course of the day. I mean, I don't mean to sound like some kind of harbinger of doom, but if you actually look at the possibilities, it could be really frightening. We could see a repeat of things that happened in 2000 and that happened in 2004, and in some ways it might even be worse.
Well, and Paul, what we have, too, is a smokescreen that's been created. You referenced the U.S. attorney scandal in your article. And John Fund, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, is a Fox News contributor. He's written a book about voter fraud. And we tried to have a conversation with him about it last week, and he ripped his microphone off figuratively and left the set. But I believe that the right tries to find these isolated cases of people who are misregistered or people who actually impersonate somebody in order to vote twice. And that happens, you know, you can count it on your fingers. And they use that to try to distract people from election fraud, which I think is a much more significant problem. I want to jump to Jackie in Watsonville. Jackie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Paul Waldman.
Oh, thanks a lot, Peter, and thank you, Mr. Waldman. I enjoyed listening to you. I want to say something about, you were talking about the fact that Obama isn't forceful enough with his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that in the beginning, too, but I'm beginning to change my mind, and I'll tell you why. I think Okay, remember the saying, the father of our country, mm-hmm. who was, of course, Washington?
Go ahead, Jackie, only 20 seconds, though.
Yeah,
go ahead and make your point.
I think Obama is becoming a very good possible father of our country, and I think the way that he is calm and reasonable mm-hmm. and intelligent and unruffled.
And if he wins, we'll all say, yes, it was the right strategy.
I think he's making his opponent look very foolish and very erratic, which
thank
he
you.
Is anyway.
Thank you, Jackie. Paul Waldman, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
All right, I look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. It is obviously better to be rich than poor, even when it comes to your children's health, according to a new study released by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Poor children were nearly five times as likely to be in less than very good health compared to children in the highest income group that we looked at.
Dr. Susan Egerter is the Foundation's Director of Research. It's not too surprising that there's a correlation between healthy kids and family income.
Middle-income kids are nearly 1.5 times as likely as children in the higher-income families to be in less than very good health.
More surprising is how kids' health relates to their parents' education, as we will hear after this.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? S-A-V-E. But how much will you need? FINRA's retirement calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's finra.org.
Where do you learn how to raise healthy children? Is it in school? Do college graduates raise healthier kids? Apparently so.
Even in households where someone had graduated from high school, children were twice as likely to be in less than very good health as children in households where someone had gone to college.
And as with income, the less education you have, the less healthy your kids are likely to be.
We compared children who are living in households where no one has graduated from high school. They were four times as likely to be in less than very good health as in households where at least one person had completed some college.
Dr. Egerter says this does not mean that all of the kids with well-paid, well-educated parents are brimming with good health either.
We did find that children are not as healthy as they could be across income and education groups. And even children in the best-off families are not doing as well as they could be.
It's true that better educated, better paid parents can afford better medical care, but that doesn't explain the disparity. Something else does.
Why people stay healthy or get sick in the first place really has less to do with medical care and more about the kinds of opportunities and resources they are exposed to, where they live, learn, work, and play. Those things are really important for health as well.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
The
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The revolution will not be televised, but we can get you some broadcast debates or something like a debate.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Stag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
But the Wall Street meltdown, that's televised.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
Well, Gil Scott Heron just offered some time markers there, but before he mentioned Nixon and Agnew, gosh, that could be quite contemporary. That was pre-rap Gil Scott Heron from about 1970 or so. The revolution will not be televised. John Nichols returns to our program. We're always delighted to talk with him. He writes for The Nation. In fact, he is so prolific, he's got a post up there almost every day at thenation.com. He was in Nashville for the presidential town hall bait. Not quite a debate, not quite a town hall meeting, would you say, John?
It certainly wasn't a debate, and I think town hall meeting is probably a stretch. I think they got about four actual citizens into the discussion,
mm-hmm.
and not for long.
Yeah.
But that said, we live in an age of such absolutely stilted and dysfunctional politics that any time you've got the candidates away from a teleprompter and a very manipulated, organized rally,
mm-hmm.
at least worth paying attention to.
Yeah. Now, at Politico today, Harris and Vandehey labeled this the worst debate ever. And they said it was boring, and they criticized Tom Brokaw. I think he earned some of that. And they also criticized the format that the parties agreed to. Now, can you give us a little background? Was this the Obama campaign accepting terms from McCain, or was it actually mutually negotiated?
Oh, it was definitely mutually negotiated. And, I hate to tell you, but there's no way to absolve Obama of blame for this stuff. Fact of the matter is that America has a corrupt system of presidential debates.
Mm-hmm.
The former chairs of the Democratic and Republican National Committees had a thing called the Commission on Presidential Debates. It is corporate-funded, creepy, the worst of the worst. And what they do is the Democrat, a guy named Kirk, consults with the Democratic campaign, the Republican, a guy named Perenkov, consults with the Republican campaign, and they sort of get their demands, and then they integrate them in and work it out. It's just a pure old-fashioned corrupt deal between political insiders. And at the end of the day, McCain did want town hall debates, although having seen last night, I don't know why.
Yeah.
And Obama wanted more formal, traditional debates. What you saw last night was the product of those two demands crashing into one another and creating a mess, right? It was the worst of a traditional debate in combination with the worst of a town hall debate.
So the rule that neither Brokaw nor the citizen questioners could follow up and even say, you didn't answer my question, or this is what I meant. And Brokaw clearly, was fumbling there because of the handcuffs that were imposed on him.
Yeah, and I don't know why Brokaw's close to retirement, right? I don't know why he didn't just say screw it, and start to impose some structure on the debate, because it was so dysfunctional from a moderator standpoint that the candidates actually were imposing order on the debate.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll notice, late in the stage, actually, at one of the more dramatic moments of the debate, McCain had attacked Obama's judgment. It basically said this guy doesn't have the temperament to be president. He says wild things that risk war with Pakistan, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama said, look, I need to do a follow-up here. I need to respond. And Brokaw kind of interrupted, and Obama basically said, look, I really do think, there needs to be a follow-up here.
Yeah.
And then McCain said, yeah, we should have follow-ups here. And finally, Brokaw goes, oh,
literally because the candidates said this is, they actually agreed and said this is absurd.
Yes, two very powerful lobbyists weighed in, and Brokaw said, oh, okay.
And then, you know, but it was such a mess, the whole damn thing. You know, you had, and I don't want to pick on Christian colleges or anything like that, but you had this little college down in Nashville running the thing, and there's an awfully lot of evidence that, unlike Washington University, which has done a lot of debates in the past,
yeah,
this place wasn't quite up to it. There's a lot of evidence that, that the candidates didn't even know that there were lights on the stage telling them when to, you know, finish up answers. And McCain, hell, he was walking in front of Brokaw's cue cards.
Yeah.
You know, several times during the evening. And so the whole thing was, it had the feel of, you know, kind of a bad city council debate.
Uh-huh.
You know, like in, you know, some relatively lesser suburb.
Well, what we were really missing there was Wayne and Garth. Because, you know, a Wayne's World presentation would have been perfect here.
I would have paid for Wayne and Garth to be asking the questions, to be honest. But, you know, with all of this said, I want to ask this, that it was a lousy debate. But, frankly, all these debates are lousy. With all this said, this was a significant, very, very significant debate for one reason, and that is that at this critical moment in the American journey, when our economy has, in the course of a week, lost $2 trillion in value, I want to emphasize that, our economy has lost $2 trillion in value, the American people were not looking for theater last night.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for boring. They were looking for somebody who could get up there and explain the economy a little bit, offer some answers, and maybe present some sense of their gravitas, their stature, if you will. And the significance of it, and I'm going to bet you, whatever you want to bet, that this plays out, the poll results, not just the instant polling, but over the next few days, is that Obama remained very calm, very steady. He got the zeitgeist. He understood the moment. Whereas McCain was like some dancing troll. I mean, he was literally bouncing across the stage, kind of giggling and saying, you know who voted for it? That one. You know who voted against it? Me. And it was just goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that as bad as the debate was, structurally, it was actually very illustrative. I find it hard to imagine that a serious, slightly undecided, maybe white, working-class voter, a little uncomfortable with a black guy being president, something like that, would have tuned in and not come away with a strong impression.
Yeah, I think on perceptions and likability, Obama is winning these debates. My lurking fear is that by not engaging on some of the most critical attacks from McCain and Palin, not that they were made at the debate, but I believe that Obama should have brought in the smear efforts, the glove-free tactics that McCain and Palin have started to use, and express some outrage and say, Senator,
there's only one way to do that, though, Peter, and it's a complex thing. You need the opening to do it. And the way to do it is to say, you know, essentially, and I'm not trying to say I've got all the answers or something, but essentially what I just said, the economy this week has lost $2 trillion in value, and these folks keep talking about Reverend Wright. You know, you've gotta kind of give it perspective. You can't just say don't pick on me, right? And you can't just say don't. You know, these guys are sleazy, or their attacks are mean spirited, or even racist. That doesn't get you very far. You've got to give people a reason to be upset with the type of campaign that they're mounting.
And so I agree, John, and I would take the situation and say, you know, we lost $3 trillion. This is the biggest challenge our country is facing, and they want to talk about the weather underground and a guy I barely know who was eight. I was 8 years old when he was making news.
Exactly. And I think the other thing is, too, I think I will say this. I actually think Obama should defend William Ayers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should say, you know, William Ayers made mistakes in the 1960s. He did things I don't approve of, and he did things that he doesn't approve of.
Yep.
But let's be clear. For 30 years, he's been one of the top players there's an education reform in the country, respected by Republicans and Democrats, hailed by, you know, Republican secretaries of education. You know what I mean? I think that avoiding errors is as bad, is almost as bad as the McCain attacks. You know what I mean? It doesn't give you the space to respond.
And one of my arguments here, John, is that after the final debate next week, it will boil down to free media, news coverage, and paid television advertising. And if Obama doesn't inoculate himself from the smears, like Bill Ayers and secondarily Reverend Wright, it's just open season, and it'll be very hard for him to correct the record.
Peter, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that this final debate does have some duties for Obama. He has prevailed in these debates, but he needs to be careful not to assume that he can simply coast through the last one. That said, I do believe that two things that happened in last night's debate gave Obama tremendous ammunition for the rest of the campaign. First, McCain put not only Social Security, but Medicaid and Medicare on the table, essentially suggesting radical reforms which will reduce people's benefits and potentially lead to a privatization of Social Security. I've never seen a Republican candidate do that in the last month of a campaign.
And, John,
it's
that was
an amazing opening.
That was a Mondale moment.
It really was. It was astounding. It's like, why would you do that? His aides had to be shooting themselves in the head. And then the second thing that I thought was an incredibly powerful moment and one that ought not be missed was when they were asked, do you think health care is a right, a responsibility, or a privilege?
Yes.
Or, you know, what is it? And you know, they both had to be pressed a little on this because it is actually, you know, taking a clear moral stance. But at the end of the day, Obama said it's a right.
Yep.
You're sick, you need care. I think that's where about 90% of Americans are. And McCain just couldn't do it.
And
he had to sort of rant about, you know, mandates and government programs.
And Obama artfully tied that to his own personal story of his mother's demise.
I thought that was that's an undercover, because too often the media looks at these debates for the, you know, sort of tripwire issues.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, Americans watch debates, and they do watch them in huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are the most watched TV aside from, like, the Super Bowl or American Idol. They watch in huge numbers, and they watch for emotional, human, moral connections. And frankly, I think that health care discussion was a very, very important one for Obama. And at the end of the day, I see Obama's late-stage campaigning very possibly tracking back to this debate, both on the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid issue, and also on the health care issue.
John Nichols from The Nation with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're joined by Dave, a first-time caller from Eureka. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Peter. Another Dave from Eureka.
We need more.
Thank you. This will be brief. You know, I watched the debate, and when John McCain said that one, the first thing that came to my mind, being I'm 72 myself and have an occasional senior moment, was that he forgot his name.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I wish it was that. I got to tell you.
That was
McCain playing out a theme of the McCain campaign in which they referred to Obama as the one and suggest that he's a false messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And the McCain campaign actually has ads to this effect, and it was actually a pretty ugly variation on the campaign and one that I thought made McCain look really bad.
Now, Dave, if you're McCain's age, do you know how to use the internets?
Yes.
Well, I want you to go to thenation.com and read John Nichols' story. It's right there on the homepage right now. And he goes
to Nation.
thenation.com and look for the story right there on the homepage with John Nichols' byline. And he goes into some detail about the origins of that one.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Did you ask me if I was a McCain man or what?
I didn't. No, you want to tell us?
I just misunderstood what you said. Anyway, I have to go for Obama. I'm Republican, but that's the only way to go right now.
Good for you, Dave. Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to check in with us, 888-573-8372. We'll continue with John Nichols from The Nation. And do go to thenation.com and check out the story there.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Want to meet a health care provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen intently to you? Looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the 2nd and 4th Sundays of October from 12 to 3. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 15-minute diagnostic evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
9 minutes in front of the hour. This portion of our program is brought to you by My Computer Works. And if you've got a computer issue, they can fix it for you remotely. Just click on the link at the top of my homepage at peterbcollins.com. We continue with John Nichols from The Nation. And, John, as I was watching the debate last night, I had to give McCain some points early in the debate because he seized the moment and introduced a new theme for him about buying up bad mortgages. This is something that my listeners and I believe is a much better approach to the economic problems we're having than the trickle-down $700 billion bailout for Wall Street. And
absolutely, yeah.
And
if I believed McCain, I'd vote for the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that plan, I love that plan. I haven't heard that radical a proposal since, 1932 with Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
It was fabulous. It was a great proposal. It's what I've talked about extensively, saying that, the way to fix the mortgage crisis is start from the grassroots, bubble your solution up, mm-hmm. and then tell the banks, yeah, we've taken care of the mortgage issue, so you don't have this exposure anymore.
Now, that was pretty mavericky.
You doubly solve it. And not only was it mavericky, it was actually a really good plan. The problem is that the there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that McCain favors it. And here's where it gets really weird. The support he would have for that would not come from his Republican caucus. You should have seen the conservative Republican websites go crazy on that proposal.
Yeah.
They hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Any support he'd have for it would be from, like, Barbara Lee and Pete Stark.
Well, I agree, and I think it was a, you know, as I heard him say it, I was you know, cringing a little bit and saying, that's Obama's line, and he should have delivered it first.
Well, look, here's something to understand about this campaign. Both Obama and McCain are almost completely freaked out by this economic stuff. They don't know what to say, and they're both stumbling around it. And the fact is that what McCain said there was really good, but I'm not even sure he knew it was that good.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to really understand is McCain could last night have won the presidency. I mean, he could have closed the deal. And all he would have had to do is last week, on Thursday, when the Senate voted on the bailout, if he had voted no,
yeah,
if he had rejected the bailout, then he could have stood on the stage last night and said, you know, 5 days ago, the Senate of the United States was called on to deal with the economic crisis. President Bush, who led us into this crisis and is responsible for it, had a proposal. I went to Washington and tried to make it better, even suspended my campaign to try and do so, but they wouldn't listen to me. They went ahead with a terrible idea that any smart person would have known wasn't going to work. And so I voted no. My opponent, Barack Obama, voted yes. And then look what happened to the market on Friday, on Monday, and on Tuesday. It was disastrous. It was the wrong plan. These fools, Bush and Obama, don't understand economics. They don't understand how to get us out of this mess. I do. If he had done that, I will tell you this, it would have been a game changer.
Yeah, I agree.
But he didn't do it. He blew, and he could talk about mortgages till he's blue in the face. At the end of the day, the key moment was to reject the bailout. And in failing to do so, I personally believe that McCain ceded his chance, his last best chance to become president.
I think you make a powerful point there. John, the other thing where I believe there was a missed opportunity was a very obvious question, one of the follow-ups from Brokaw, which is, who would your Treasury Secretary be? This is a very important job, more important than ever. And neither one of them had an answer. They both gave praise to Warren Buffett to help promote his new book, I guess. But I think that this was a point where Obama could have said, well, you know, I've got three people in mind. Or even name a name and say, this is, I'm not, you know, forwarding the nomination, but I'm telling you that this person has the characteristics that I'm looking for.
Well, and he could have just said something even simpler than that. I agree with you. I think you're exactly right that it was a missed opportunity. He could have just said, I'm not going to tell you today who my Treasury Secretary is going to be, but I will promise you this. It's not going to be one of the people who got us into this mess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back to Goldman Sachs or to one of these operations and pick another CEO of a bank and put them in charge of our economy. We have an economy for banks, for factories, for stores, for farms, for the whole of the United States, and yet we keep picking our Treasury Secretaries out of, you know, a tiny 0.1% of America that lives on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
My Secretary of the Treasury is going to be somebody who spent some time on Main Street. If he had said that, and if he had said, and then he could even say some examples. He said, I might pick a Warren Buffett who lives out in Omaha. I might pick, you know, some CEO of a manufacturing concern that's still making things in the U.S. You know, I might pick a small business owner. Maybe I'd pick the guy who owns Starbucks. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is that he had an opportunity there to scope out an alternative vision. And this is the point I keep coming back to. Neither Obama nor McCain knows what to do about this economic mess.
Yeah.
I mean, neither of them is beginning to do any kind of messaging on this. At the end of the day, Obama wins because people look at him and he at least seems sober and functional. But he's not winning on the basis of a plan. He doesn't have a new deal that people are rallying
to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, John, it was interesting, and I'm gratified that Obama is showing up in the instant polls and the delayed polls as leading in these debates. I still want to see him not take gloves off, not get lean and mean the way McCain has, but be firm and aggressive and stand his ground and deplore the negative ads and the slimy comments from Palin and McCain, because if he doesn't inoculate those, the last 3 weeks are going to be just wild, and some of that stuff is going to stick.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Peter. The last 3 weeks are going to be wild, and some of it probably is going to stick. But if we keep on the track that we're on, Obama's lead may extend to such a level that he will have that space.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, you did see one such moment last night.
Real quick.
When he came back on that bomb rant thing.
Right, yeah. John Nichols, thank you very much.
No one's like that.
All right, thank you, John.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another rocky day for the stock market.
The turmoil will not end quickly, and significant challenges remain ahead.
The Dow drops 189 points.
The longer it takes for the effects of that bailout plan to trickle through the system, the more damage can be done.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Following the market today was like watching a heart monitor. It had plenty of ups and downs. At the close, the Dow was down 2% to 9,258. The NASDAQ off 14 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says this looks like a long-term pattern.
If you listen to the traders I speak to, we're going to be in for a rough ride probably for most of 2009. This market has many, many hurdles to jump. Sure, we have the bailout plan money coming. It's welcome news. That'll be injected in the next month or so. We have the Federal Reserve banks around the world committing that they're standing by and ready to jump in with money. But we need to start seeing some fundamentals change.
The market's looking for stronger corporate earnings and a thaw in the frozen credit system. There are signs that's beginning to happen, but Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says it'll take time.
The key is to increase the confidence, increase the liquidity, the capitalization, and only there are you going to get the kind of lending we need to see.
He predicts some institutions will fail despite the government rescue plan, which is weeks away from implementation. The Fed, which saved AIG from bankruptcy with an $85 billion loan, has agreed to provide up to $37.8 billion more. Some encouraging news from the housing market, where all this started. Walter Maloney of the National Association of Realtors says the number of contracts for home purchases jumped more than 7% in August.
Buyers are continuing to take advantage of drops in home prices, low home prices, and still affordable interest rates.
Sales are up in the hardest hit markets, California, Florida, Nevada, and Arizona. Now this.
Most weekends, going to the mall could help you change your wardrobe or home for the better. But this weekend, it could change your whole life. Because this weekend, you can experience a major breakthrough in sleep technology. The Sleep Number Bed, an innovative revolution in comfort that can offer no less than a wonderful night's sleep for an individual or a couple, simply because you control your total comfort. Everyone can discover their sleep number at a select comfort store. It's fast, fun, and free. Visit us this weekend to discover your sleep number on our newest, most advanced sleep systems with temperature control materials. What can happen when you find that number? Well, among other things, a perfect night's sleep for the rest of your life. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Now through Columbus Day, October 13th, choose cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 years with approval on our entire line of beds. Or save $500 on the new Sleep Number Memory Foam Queen Bed Set. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you.
Nielsen Media Research says more than 63 million people watched John McCain and Barack Obama face off last night, up 10 million from their first debate. Today, they were back on the road.
All we heard from Senator McCain was more of the same Bush economics that led us into this mess in the first place.
Obama campaigned in Indianapolis while John McCain appeared with running mate Sarah Palin in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
I was the one who called at the time for tighter restrictions on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that could have helped prevent this crisis, could have helped prevent from happening in the first place, and Senator Obama was silent.
The Obama campaign says the government would massively overpay and taxpayers would certainly lose money if McCain's proposal to buy up distressed mortgages were adopted. Talk with the Taliban? General David Petraeus, soon to take over U.S. Central Command, says it could be part of the solution for Afghanistan.
I do think you have to talk to enemies. I mean, again, you got to set things up. You got to know who you're talking to. You got to have your objectives straight. All the rest of this stuff.
He says it worked in Iraq, and he believes there are Taliban leaders who might be willing to reconcile with the Afghan government. Before the Supreme Court today, the government argued that training with sonar is vitally important to the Navy's mission, and there's little evidence of harm to whales and dolphins. Environmentalists say sonar can be very damaging, comparing it to the noise of a jet engine magnified 2,000 times. Attorney Paul Kaminar, who filed a brief supporting the government's position, said the high court seemed receptive.
It was clear that the justices were concerned about the impact that this would have on our national security and defense.
Sonar exercises off the Southern California coast have continued with some court-imposed restrictions. The price of oil a bit lower today, down to $88.59 a barrel. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil filter.
As the filter, I'm used to everything sort of going through me. So why are we here?
Oh, sorry, oil filter. We're at the Ford dealership to get the Works Fuel Saver Package.
The Works Fuel Saver Package, yes, I've heard of it. It has a special low price now?
Right, $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Yes, rebate. And this includes tire rotation.
Yep, at any Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer. It can help with fuel economy.
Yes, fuel economy. And a battery test and a brake inspection. Fluid top-off, multi-point inspection.
Check, check, check.
And a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change. Very comprehensive.
That's right. Oh, and a new oil filter, too, of course.
Of course. A new... what?
The new oil filter.
Get your hands off me, Ford trained technician! Where are you taking me? Tell the world my story!
For the lowest price in years on maintenance packages, brakes, batteries, and more, see your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer or visit GenuineService.com. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. In the second half of this hour, we're going to meet Kelly Campbell. Her brother-in-law was killed on 9/11. And she has questions about U.S. policy toward Afghanistan, asking, gosh, aren't we killing innocent civilians just like happened on 9/11?
Did the fight to make ends meet? Keep the man up on his feet. Holding down his job. Trying to show he can be bought. Who takes every kind of people? Make what life's about, yeah. Every kind of people. Make the world go round.
Right now, I want you to meet one of the Bay Area's smartest, most inspiring activists. He's one of those dreaded community organizers, and he's working on issues that appear very disconnected: social inequality, and environmental destruction. But as you hear Van Jones, I think you'll understand the connectivity. Van, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm glad to be back on the show.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, sir. And I've seen you speak at the Take Back America conferences. You recently joined the Center for American Progress, so one of the leading progressive think tanks in Washington. And you work on a lot of different issues. I just want to single one thing out before we start talking about your new book and the green economy. And that is, you came a couple of years ago to a screening of a documentary in progress about life prisoners in the California Department of Corrections. And when you spoke, I was really touched because it's an issue I care a lot about. You met Carl McQuillian that night. He's a guy who spent over 30 years in the prison system here in California and worked his own parole through the courts. But it's a forgotten group of people who are locked away in the California gulag, and their incarceration is at the heart of the economic problems that California grapples with.
Well, it's true, you know, it can't be said often enough. California spends a dime out of every dollar in our state budget on prison. That is more money than we spend on all of our four-year colleges and universities combined. We spend more money sending people to jail than we spend sending people to four-year colleges and universities, and that dime is about to become a dime and a nickel. And it would be great if we got anything for that money, but the reality is that we are not rehabilitating, we're not doing job training. Many of the people who are in prison are in prison in California for nonviolent drug offenses, basically crimes of addiction or economic desperation. There's much cheaper ways to deal with that than locking people up. My view is that we need a green economy in California. And in the green economy, you wouldn't have any throwaway species or resources. You also wouldn't have any throwaway people. And that's, to me, is an important connection that we need to make. If we're going to fix California's economy and the U.S. economy, we can be a world leader in green economics, or we can be a world leader in gulag economics. We cannot afford to be both.
Yeah. And just to single out one guy I know, John Dannenberg is a life prisoner at San Quentin. And before he went in, he owned a solar engineering company. And he would love to get out before he's too old to do any good, because as he sat there behind bars, he's generated a lot of ideas about alternative energy and ways to produce it efficiently and right, you know, close to home. And it's just one example of the kind of loss that we suffer. And here's somebody who'd love to put his shoulder to the wheel on one of the most important challenges that we're facing.
Well, you know, I wrote in my book, the Green Collar Economy, which just came out yesterday, and is already number two on Amazon's nonfiction sellers, and it was number one on Powell's.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, very, very exciting. Endorsed by Gore and Pelosi, all these people. The point of the book is exactly makes it, in some parts of the book, point out what you're saying, which is that we have genius in this country that is not being tapped. We have not heard from most of the best people in the country about how to solve the problems of this transition from a dirty, dangerous, outmoded energy strategy based on oil and coal and gas, which are cooking the planet and making us fight wars and drain our treasury, both to fight the wars and then to buy the oil. The transition away from that to a clean and green, homegrown energy system distributed, which will create many more jobs, which will bring down carbon, which will be based on creativity. We are at the end. I think people, your listeners definitely are watching the news. We are at the end of an era of U.S. capitalism, which was based on consumption and not production, that was based on credit and not creativity, that was based on environmental destruction and not environmental restoration. When we raise the call for a green economy, this is not some fringe call for the hippies and the polar bear lovers and, you know, good, you know, liberals like myself. This is a call to fix the core operating system of the U.S. economy, to return it to work, return it to wealth building that's sustainable, to put people to work, retrofitting the country, repowering the country with solar power, with a clean grid, with wind farms. All of this is work jobs and careers that we need to bring this country back.
And so, Van, one of the big challenges I see is taking on the oligarchs and the corporate media. Let me just give you one example that's fresh in my mind. I saw a powerful documentary last week at the Mill Valley Film Festival called Burning the Future, and it's the story of mountaintop mining in West Virginia. And we see on television these happy little messages from the clean coal industry. And we hear our political leaders parrot the words clean coal. But if we only focus on the extraction of the coal, where they blow up the lid of the mountain to get down to the coal seam, and they create an environmental wreckage in the hollers, as they call them in West Virginia, the hollows, the valleys nearby, it pollutes the water, it causes the people to get sick who rely on the mining operations for their income, and it is just a gruesome cycle. It's very difficult to break when our political leaders accept contributions from quote-unquote clean coal and then don't challenge the greenwashing, or is it graywashing, that's going on there.
Well, I think that's right, and it's much worse than you say, because not only is it the case that the extraction of coal is one of the dirtiest and most dangerous activities going on in our country. The proud tradition of our coal miners, who frankly are our heroes, who would go down into the earth, risk their own lives, risk their lungs, to power America. Those traditions are being wiped out, by a vicious coal industry that now just says, we just, again, as you say, blow up whole mountains, grab the coal and run. So it's become, it's gone from incredibly dirty to now the dirtiest activity happening in the United States. But it's even worse than you say, because there is no such thing as clean coal to be burned on the other side.
Yeah.
Clean coal represents a breakthrough in the marketing of coal, but there has been no breakthrough in the burning of coal. So the whole idea of carbon sequestration, in other words, you can burn coal but pull the carbon out and hold it someplace, is a fantasy. There's never worked, the idea you can stick it in big holes in the ground. There are very few places in the world that have geological formations that would allow that to happen. The idea that you're going to have these horizontal chimneys where the algae eat up all the carbon and you don't have to worry about the carbon, that has turned out to be something that would require multiple acres of land, tons of water, and can only work in temperate climates. So if it was too hot or too cold, it wouldn't work. There's no way for them to burn coal clean. The whole thing is a scam, and it is a scandal that Democrats, or frankly any elected official, in a crisis like this, would even go along with this kind of a skullduggery.
All right, next up, John McCain, last night's debate, said he wants to build, quote, a whole bunch of new nuclear power plants in this country. And they're trying to portray this as a response to climate change, because it's true that there isn't a lot of carbon coming out of the smokestack of a nuclear power plant. But the risk of the nuclear waste and the water that has to be heated to cool off the plant contributes to warming of the oceans, warming of waterways.
Well, John McCain represents a very dangerous development in U.S. politics. He is the foremost example of a phenomenon I call, in my book, The Green Collar Economy, I call it the rise of the dirty greens. He's a dirty green. It used to be that you had these people who would try to confuse everybody about whether or not there was a problem of global warming. But we beat them on that. Al Gore beat them on that. We beat them on that. So now they don't confuse you about the problem. They try to confuse you about the solution. So what they do is, just like you have corporations that greenwash their product, they still have the same toxic, nasty product, but they would have a nice, clean ad. It might show some, beautiful, lush stuff with a green sticker on it, greenwashing. Now we have greenwashing politicians, and John McCain is the foremost greenwashing, dirty green in the country, because all they do is they say they're for wind, they're for solar, but then they also say they're for oil shale, they're for tar sand, they're for drilling up our coast and throwing away America's beauty.
All of the above, all of the above. That's the easy.
And that's why in the book, this is a way, they're green, the way that you have a green sheen on an oil slick, okay? This is not a green politics. It's a way of actually accelerating us down the path of dirty energy. But then you kind of take this ball of oil and you stick a little windmill in it and throw a solar panel in your ad and you call that green. This is very, very dangerous because let me just say this. In no other circumstance does somebody who says, therefore, quote unquote, all the above, earn your respect. If you go to a doctor, you say, I'm sick. What medicine should I take? They say, all of the above. You got a bad doctor. How is that leadership?
Well, and Van, in the debate over the bailout in Congress last week, I don't remember who it was, but it was a Southern Republican who said, this bailout is a big cow pie with a marshmallow in the middle. I'm not going to eat that cow pie. We're going to take a break and return. Van Jones from the Ella Baker Center in Oakland. He's author of the new book just out, The Green Collar Economy. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8.
Program 8.
Secure all levels at 0.
0. My feet. I can't move my feet.
It's as if we're glued to the spot.
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools.
The Paperwing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Good afternoon, commuters. For your ride home, I'm Carl Warren. The weather's great, all sun, no clouds, wind off the bay 10 to 15 miles per hour. The high in Monterey, 64, low expected tonight in the area in the low 50s. In a single word, the weather's great, and it's going to stay this way well into next week. Your homebound commute looks good at Highway 1 and Dunbarton Road. two men are walking in the center divide going northbound, so be careful there. There's also tire tread in the roadway at highways 152 and 156. In Santa Cruz, Highway 17 looks clear. Back over to Monterey, Highway 68 and Highway 1 are also clear. Highway 1 northbound passing Seaside is starting to get slow as the afternoon commute progresses. All in all, it's good. And now back to the Peter B. Collins Show right after this.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 10 minutes away, Kelly Campbell says it's time for a new look at America's role in Afghanistan.
As we go along.
We continue now with Van Jones, founder of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in Oakland, their website, ellabakercenter.org. He is also the founder of Green for All on the web, greenforall.org. And his new book is called The Green Collar Economy. I don't have a copy yet, Van, but if you fix that, I'll invite you back on the show and we'll talk about the book.
Oh, that's great. It just came out yesterday. So,
uh-huh. And the publisher is?
Publisher is Harper One,
uh-huh.
And it's just now getting you know, people have been pre-ordering it. It's just now apparently arrived. It was in stores yesterday,
mm-hmm.
And we're excited about it. We've got a lot of independent booksellers in the Bay Area that are going to be promoting it, and as well as you know the normal bigger stores, and excited about being a first-time author.
Great. We're joined by Aldous from Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, Aldous. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Van Jones.
Hey, Van Jones. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to say that, you know, the greenwashing you're talking about really is truly insidious. Some people don't realize one of the largest engineering firms for wind power solutions called WindConnect is a sister subdivision of Alliant Energy with something called SmartBurn, which is the largest engineering solutions for this clean coal, quote-unquote, technology. And they're both owned by Alliant Energy, one of the big old common coal-firing power producers out there.
Interesting. I have to tell you, I cringe every night. I record the public television news hour, and as I play it back on my TV, there comes the greenwashing message from Chevron. And do you know that they drill responsibly? And there's another word. It's like sensitively. They're sensitive oil people.
Wow, drilling responsibly and sensibly sounds like it involves a condom or something.
Yeah, they put ribs on the drills for extra pleasure. Thank you, Aldous. What about this greenwashing? Because it does work, and many Americans really aren't properly aware of the problems we face and the array of exciting solutions because they keep getting greenwashing messages on their boob tube.
Well, it's a concerted effort. The good thing about the American people is that we learn relatively quickly. I mean, you know, we get fooled and then we figure it out. You know, the Iraq War, you know, it was a great example of that. Frankly, corn-based ethanol was sold to the American people, and now I don't think there's a single person in America that you know paying attention at all that thinks the corn-based ethanol is a good idea, you know, burning food for fuel. And so I do believe that, you know, with continuous shows like yours, that we will, you know, go through the frustrating process of saying, Jesus, can't you guys figure this out? And pretty soon you look around and the numbers will be coming back our way. The challenge that we have is that we just don't have enough time to keep fooling around with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because of the peril for the ecology, but also now because of the peril of the economy. And we are, as I said, we're at the end of this, you know, the era of capitalism we've just gone through. We have to now do something different. There are so many jobs. That's one of the things I think people, you know, we desperately now need to jumpstart this economy.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling for a green recovery, essentially a Green New Deal, where we begin to retrofit and repower and reboot the American economy. How? Well, first of all, the low-hanging fruit and what's desperately needed is to look at all these buildings across the country, especially in the Northeast. We have a harsh winter coming. Fuel bills are going to be through the roof. we need to start weatherizing and retrofitting those buildings so they leak less energy, so they're less drafty, so we can save people money. The bill goes up 40%, but you by efficiency measures, you bring it down by 40%, we can hold people harmless. We are calling for a winter jobs campaign to put people to work. Our construction industry is flat out on its back. Put those people to work, weatherizing, solarizing, retrofitting these buildings, starting with the poor people.
And, Van, let me jump in because we have 30 seconds. Sure. I want to get your take on Boone Pickens and Proposition 10 in California.
Well, I won't weigh in on Proposition 10 because it would take me too long, but I would say that Boone Pickens is half right and he's half wrong. He's half right that we should use that Saudi Arabia of wind. With wind energy, I think he's wrong that we should start burning all that natural gas. It's still a dirty fuel.
All right. Well, Van, I look forward to talking with you again after I read your book, and I'm looking forward to that, The Green Collar Economy. My thanks to Van Jones for joining us today.
Happy to be.
All right, sir. Thanks to Counting Crows and Mr. Jones.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Bailout 2.0, Beta. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. On Monday, the U.S. House killed the Wall Street bailout after about a million Category 5 emails almost swept them out to sea. So today, the Senate will step in, and after Rosh Hashanah ends at sundown, we'll try to pass the bailout in the dark. Not quite the same bailout. This version raises the insurance on bank deposits for a year. And since the Constitution says money bills must originate in the House and not the Senate, the way the senators get this bill not to originate in the Senate, even though it does, is to attach it to a completely unrelated bill from the House that extends energy tax credits, which is very popular, but also not paid for. And so, the bill the Senate will send to the House on Thursday morning is a bailout plan that is even more expensive than the bailout plan that failed in the House for being too expensive. It will be interesting to see if the 12 Republicans who didn't want the president's economic failures rubbed in their faces on Monday will welcome it on Thursday. Ah, but there may be a magic wand. Because according to a little item on page C-22 of today's Wall Street Journal, some shaky banks got a little healthier overnight after the Securities and Exchange Commission clarified its accounting rules, so that loans that were listed as having basically no current value may now be legally listed as having value based on what they might be worth someday. I believe the technical term is lipstick on a pig. Or if you prefer, it's like saying, I can see profits from my house. Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, you'll hear the voice of an American pleading for a new policy in Afghanistan. In Tuesday night's debate, Barack Obama made a powerful point. He said that after 9/11, George W. Bush urged Americans to go shopping. And he said he thought Americans were looking for a different response, a different kind of leadership, a call to action, to shared sacrifice, and to a common consensus. And instead, I believe that Bush unleash the forces of nationalism, and in some cases, narcissism. As America offered rationalizations for first its invasion of Afghanistan, and later and more problematically, the invasion and occupation of Iraq. Kelly Campbell joins me now. She wrote a powerful piece that you can find at the Huffington Post, huffingtonpost.com. And she has her own reasons for leaving nationalism and narcissism behind in issuing the call that she has. Kelly, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
So your piece was written, timed to October 7th, and it acknowledged that it was 7 years ago on October 7th that the U.S. started its invasion and its bombing of Afghanistan. And you tied it to the memorial service that you went to on that same day for your brother-in-law, who died on 9/11. Tell us the name of your brother-in-law and what happened to him, and then the experience you had at his memorial.
Sure. My brother-in-law's name was Craig Amundson. He was a specialist in the Army, and he worked in the Pentagon essentially doing graphic design for the Army there. And he was one of the folks who was lost on September 11th on that tragic day. And after Craig's death, my husband, his brother, and other members of the family and I started talking, and we realized that the last thing we wanted in response to Craig's death was another family anywhere in the world to go through the feelings that we were going through. And we realized that our government was going to respond to Craig's death and to the tragedy of 9/11 by causing tragedies just like this for other families in Afghanistan, families of people who were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, just as Craig was on that day. And so we started speaking out early on, saying we don't want to go to war, not in our family member's name. And we found that there were other 9/11 family members speaking out, saying the same thing. And so we got together to form a group called September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And we've been advocating for peaceful, nonviolent responses, rational responses to 9/11 to ensure that 9/11 doesn't happen again to any family anywhere in the world.
And Kelly, what kind of response do you get? Because this nation is full of hard-headed people, some cases sheeple, whose minds are made up by the corporate media and by the political leaders who offer them spin and propaganda.
Well, the response has really changed over time. I think in the beginning you were talking about Barack Obama's comments that after 9/11 Bush urged us to go shopping and how that was really the wrong approach, and I totally agree with that. I think the other thing about that moment in time to remember is that we had the sympathy in the ear of the entire world. The U.S. was, in France, they were saying, we're all Americans today. In the streets of Tehran, they were doing candlelight vigils for the victims of 9/11. And it was really an opportunity at that point to show some world leadership, to say, how do we ensure that this doesn't happen again? How do we look at the root causes of 9/11, and how do we as an international community come together to say this isn't acceptable? And that moment in time was really, an important opportunity to take that initiative, and we lost that initiative when Bush said, that's it, you know, we're going to go kick some ass. We're going to go kill some people in Afghanistan, and then we'll all feel better. And it was really, you know, you're with us or you're against us, and as people who didn't believe that that approach was correct, we were targeted with a lot of hateful rhetoric, you know, being called terrorists, being called things like that, being called traitors, rather than saying, you know, in a free and open and democratic society, we should really be talking about these issues. We should really be talking about what the right approach is to 9/11. And I really still believe that what I believed at the time, which is September 11th was a crime against humanity. And if we had treated it as a crime against humanity, we would have come up with better approaches to deal with it rather than treating it as an act of war.
Kelly Campbell, my guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show, till the top of the hour. And if you'd like to join in with a comment, feel free to call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In the article, the commentary you wrote, you say, in January of 2002, I traveled to Afghanistan to witness the direct effects of the U.S. bombing campaign. In and around Kabul, I met with families whose homes were destroyed and whose children were killed due to the U.S. bombing. These were not Taliban or Al-Qaeda supporters. They were ordinary people, just like 9/11 victims, but are the ones who always suffer when political leaders choose war and violence as the answer. In January of 2002, there was much hope among the people in Afghanistan. The people I met expressed a deep desire for an end to the violence. Most saw the U.S. bombing as a mixed blessing. They were angry about civilian casualties, but relieved that the Taliban were out of power and hopeful that 23 years of war were coming to a close. And Kelly, unfortunately, in the intervening years, the U.S. has continued to conduct airstrikes in Afghanistan. In fact, in 2007, most people aren't aware of this, but we conducted almost double the number of air raids in Afghanistan as we did in Iraq. And this continues to this day, where using fighter jets with manned pilots, with human pilots, and also Predator drones, we continue to, and I certainly believe in the deepest part of my heart that these things are not intentional, but we continue to kill significant numbers of civilians, and often these are wedding parties. That happens just far too many times. And in almost each case, the reaction is that local citizens look to the Taliban, to Al-Qaeda, and some of the other splinter jihadist groups that are present in Afghanistan for security and for retribution to the occupying power that killed their bride, their relative, their friend.
Right, and I did witness some of that in the 10 days that I spent in Afghanistan in 2002. Really seeing that there were just ordinary residential neighborhoods in kind of the suburbs of Kabul and in villages around there that were hit, and people don't know why, whether they were stray bombs, whether there was a target in the area. But again, the people who we met with were not supporters of the Taliban, were not supporters of Al-Qaeda, and they were the ones that were suffering. We also met with children in the hospitals missing limbs from U.S. cluster bombs. And we went to the demining agencies to witness how the brave deminers who'd been working so hard to get rid of all the Soviet landmines that have been left in that country for so many years were now tackling with this, you know, this new technology, these U.S. cluster bombs, which they didn't know how to defuse and which were killing children, killing farmers. And this, you know, when we talk about winning hearts and minds, this just isn't the way to do it. This isn't the way to bring people along to say, instead we should be acknowledging that the people of Afghanistan were victims of Al-Qaeda in the same way that the 9/11 victims were victims of Al-Qaeda. And instead of spending all this time and money and energy bombing them, there are a lot of things we could be doing to help Afghanistan become a stable and democratic society and ultimately to put to rest some of the ideas that Al-Qaeda stands for that did get support from the Taliban and then, are gaining more support around the world. But when we look at it, the U.S. has been spending close to $100 million a day on the military in Afghanistan. While if you combine the average amount of all donors' aid for humanitarian efforts a day, that's $7 million. So we're spending $100 million a day on bombing, on weapons, on the military, and we're spending $7 million a day to help rebuild that country. So you can see why people are not excited about the occupation and are not feeling like the U.S. is really helping.
And Kelly, you can probably tell I'm a liberal, a progressive kind of guy, but we don't protect people on this program. And I've been sharply critical of Senator Obama because he's been articulating for the last 6 weeks or so a call for more troops in Afghanistan. And while his proposal is more detailed and includes non-military elements, and that's in stark contrast to the comments and proposals from McCain and Palin, I'm still very concerned that he feels it is popular and viable to talk about pulling troops out of Iraq and that some of those troops will go to Afghanistan. And I'm very concerned because we haven't had a good debate about what the mission is in Afghanistan and what additional troops would be charged with doing. We don't have an exit strategy, and we have seen that nation has never submitted to occupation in the past. And it contributed to the breakup of the Soviet Union. I don't want to see a similar implication on the United States by attempting to expand our military presence in Afghanistan in direct contradiction to history and to the obvious signals that we see.
Well, I really agree with your concerns, Peter, and there's actually a RAND Corporation study that came out this summer that agrees with your concerns as well, and you know, they're certainly not a liberal think tank. But essentially, you know, they looked at how our terrorist groups diffused, and it's generally not done through military means, that it's done through diplomacy and it's done through policing means, and they conclude that in Afghanistan, you know, the military isn't going to be the answer. So I am concerned when we hear elected officials and when we hear candidates talking about, you know, the answer in Afghanistan is to send more troops. I'm glad, I guess, that they're raising the issue of Afghanistan because I feel like it's been so eclipsed in this country by the other very real issues in Iraq. But I think it's too simplistic an answer to say, well, we'll just send more troops, because every year since 2001 we've sent more troops, and every year the civilian casualties have gone up and the military casualties have gone up and the violence has only gotten worse. And so to say, oh, well, the answer is just, you know, throw some more troops in there. And again, who are these troops? We're talking about people who may be on their third, fourth, even fifth deployments at this point. When the military folks that I talk to, I mean, this just isn't sustainable, and it's not realistic. It's a nice, simple soundbite, maybe, that works for a campaign and, you know, allows candidates to seem, tough on terror. But if we're really looking at getting to the root causes of terrorism, I don't think the military is going to be the answer to that in Afghanistan or in Iraq or around the world. And I'm hoping that, you know, through raising these issues, now we can start to have that conversation that we should have had 7 years ago about what do we really do about these real issues of terrorism
Well, you're showing more rationality and more courage than most of our elected leaders of either party in the House and the Senate right now. If you'd like to read Kelly's commentary, go to HuffingtonPost.com and in the search window, enter Kelly Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. We'll continue in just a moment. Your calls and comments welcome here, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at PeterBCollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The afternoon weather forecast for your drive home couldn't be better. It's sunny and warm from Big Sur to San Francisco. Lows for the Monterey Bay area tonight will be in the low 50s. Tomorrow's forecast will be for another day, just like today. Highs into the mid-70s. For your homebound traffic report, Highway 101 at Orchard Lane has got brake lights going on. A white utility truck is in the center divide, and other vehicles are almost hitting them. There is very little clearance on the shoulder there. It's going to take a while to clear this one up. Our prior report for Highway 1 in Santa Cruz at 41st Avenue, the collision there has been cleared and traffic is getting back to normal. Highway 17 is normal. Highway 1 in Monterey is normal. Highway 101 is normal, and 68 is doing well also. Highway 1 northbound just passing Seaside is still slow. And now back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
In the world according to Bush, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. That's S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G.
Buying and selling your history. How we go about it is no mystery. We change the city, then change the law.
Who can forget the Pet Shop Boys? I try. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Kelly Campbell. I invite you to read her commentary posted at thehuffingtonpost.com. Just go in there and enter her name in the search window, and you'll see the article entitled, On Anniversary of Bombing Afghanistan, We Need a Surge in Diplomacy. And, Kelly, over the weekend, the New York Times reported an intercepted cable. It was probably an email, but when diplomats send email, it's called a cable. And this was a communique between the British ambassador to Kabul, Sherard Cowper Coles, and a French diplomat, the deputy ambassador, Francois Fitou. And it's very powerful and frank. It reads, the presence of the coalition, in particular its military presence, is part of the problem in Afghanistan, not part of its solution. This is the British diplomat speaking. Foreign forces are in the lifeline of a regime that would rapidly collapse without them. As such, they slow down and complicate a possible emergence from the crisis. He went on, within 5 to 10 years, the only realistic way to unite Afghanistan would be for it to be, quote, governed by an acceptable dictator. He goes on, we should think of preparing our public opinion for such an outcome. Now, I think this is really remarkable, and it's very important, and it's very timely, Kelly Campbell, because this is somebody who doesn't have as much of a stake as the United States does in our presence in Afghanistan, and I believe they're blurting out the truth.
Well, I read that article, too, and I think it's, you know, it's interesting. I agree with his first point that, you know, all indications that I've seen are that the U.S. military presence and the NATO military presence isn't helping in Afghanistan. I guess I find it a little disturbing to say, therefore, you know, we should help install a friendly dictator, because the friendly dictators like Musharraf and, you know, Saddam Hussein and others like that don't generally turn out to be in the best interest of the U.S. Or in the best interest of the people living in the region. I think, you know, it's important for us to examine, you know, what is our role in the world community. I'm not sure that it is our role to go in and impose any sort of system on other countries.
Mm-hmm. I also think that democracy can't flourish when it is imposed or introduced at the point of a gun barrel.
Exactly. And I quote in my piece something that Malalaya Joya said, who is a very brave young woman who was elected to the Afghan parliament, who stood up in the session in parliament and spoke out against the warlords and the drug lords that make up the majority of people who are represented in the Afghan parliament. And she was kicked out of parliament for doing that. But one thing that she said when she was speaking in Canada, I believe last year, was, you know, no nation can donate liberation to another nation. And I think that's a really important point. I think, you know, we in the U.S. have this attitude that we want to help and that we can fix things. And I'm not sure that it's our role to fix things in Afghanistan. I think it is our role to make sure we're not doing more harm. But I don't think it's our role to try to liberate other people or to, determine what form of government people in other countries are choosing.
Not only that, our self-interest, I think, dictates that we're cognizant of the term blowback. And
exactly.
What it means. We were the people who brought Osama bin Laden to Afghanistan in the 1980s to try to cause trouble for the Soviet occupation. And we lost control of that asset, and it has come back to haunt us. And we know that we don't know everything that our government is doing in Afghanistan, but we can presume that it will have the same long-term negative impact and that we will be bitten by the decisions that have been made over the last 7 years, well into the future.
No, I think you're right, and that's why I think it's so important that we try to restart this conversation now, that Afghanistan is kind of back on the radar, and that we really start pushing our elected officials to talk about, you know, what are other options? What is the mission in Afghanistan? What is our role in terms of combating terrorism around the world? How can we be effective in doing that? How can we work with our partners through the UN and other ways rather than this sort of, you know, go-it-alone kind of cowboy approach where, you know, we're going to bomb people into democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have serious issues with Pakistan, with the border tensions between Pakistan and Afghanistan. We have learned that the Taliban was largely a creation of the Bhutto government in the late 90s because they were looking for a friendly group to install in Afghanistan so that they could concentrate on their most troublesome flank, which, of course, is India and Kashmir. And so the legacy and the paternity here goes way back, and there are many people, of course, who don't accept their responsibility for it. But I believe that the U.S. needs to move from the point of being the lead occupier of Afghanistan to an honest broker for peace between the various parties in this region. And we need to enlist the help of the United Nations and other regional groups and regional powers to assist us, because unilateralism is one of our most serious mistakes, in my view here.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I've really learned in doing this work around Afghanistan is that, you know, other NATO countries that have troops in Afghanistan right now, their peace movements have really taken up this issue in a big way that we haven't seen yet in the peace movement in the U.S. I've been to Germany and marched with people in the streets there calling for German troops out of Afghanistan. I've been up to Canada, where there's a very strong movement, you know, questioning the Canadian role, the Canadian military role in Afghanistan. And I don't think this is something people in the U.S. understand, that, you know, our other NATO partners there, there's a lot of questions going on and a lot of dissent within the discourse in their countries about their roles.
Kelly, we're out of time, but it's a real inspiration to talk with you. Thank you for speaking up and having the courage to express yourself on this important matter.
Thank you, Peter.
Kelly Campbell, read her post at thehuffingtonpost.com.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does you...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The stock market lost more ground today, the Dow down another 189 points, even after the Federal Reserve and central banks around the world made a coordinated move to cut interest rates. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason talked to an expert.
Economist Stuart Hoffman says the Fed's cutting rates to restore confidence.
In and of itself, it wouldn't be enough, but it's part of a lot of stuff that the Fed has thrown on the wall to see what sticks.
As the credit markets remained frozen, Treasury Secretary Paulson urged patience while the rescue package is implemented.
Because the turmoil will not end quickly, and significant challenges remain ahead.
Recession worries are growing. Three out of four major retailers reported disappointing September sales as more and more shoppers watch their wallets.
There are buying opportunities in housing, and the National Association of Realtors says homes are starting to move in some of the most distressed markets. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has that.
Pending home sales were up in August by more than 7%. Experts were anticipating another drop. Two things seem to have helped. Home prices are still lower than they've been, attractive to buyers, and there's been a drop in mortgage rates.
You can get a 30-year loan if you qualify for around 6.1%. In last night's debate, John McCain unveiled a plan to have the government buy up bad mortgages and renegotiate the terms to help people stay in their homes. Today, the Obama campaign said that would cause the government to massively overpay and guarantee taxpayers lose money. Both candidates back on the campaign trail.
I can take four more weeks of John McCain's attacks, but the American people can't take four more years of John McCain's Bush policies.
Both candidates were campaigning. McCain in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and that's where he spoke.
I've seen the corrupt ways of Washington and wasteful spending and other abuses of power. As president, I'm going to end these abuses, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
The debate, according to Nielsen Media Research, drew more than 63 million voters, up 10 million from the first face-off last month. It could be a hard winter in the East. Joe Bastardi is a long-range forecaster for AccuWeather.
What we're looking at right now is more snow than last year and not as warm as last year.
He says it could be the worst winter in 5 years, and that means higher heating costs. In 1989, when New York real estate developer Seymour Durst put a digital display of the mounting national debt in Times Square, he never imagined this, $10 trillion. Durst's granddaughter Helena says the debt clock is out of space.
The numbers snuck up on us, and we had to quickly do something to the clock.
They'll be adding extra digits. The price of oil slipped back today, down a dollar and a half to $88.59 a barrel. This is CBS News.
It's time to discover the savings at your neighborhood Ace. Now through Monday, buy a 21-inch Ace bow saw with handsaw combo on sale for only $9.99. An Ace motion sensor light on sale for $14.99 with an extra $5 mail-in rebate limit one. Or Ace Royal Paint, starting at $19.99 a gallon. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn double points on select Scott's fertilizer and grass seed. Ace, the helpful place.
Sale price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Only one jewelry store has five times the selection of ordinary stores and offers so many diamonds to choose from.
That's Jared!
Like the Leo Artisan, designed and cut to reveal a diamond's true brilliance, the Leo Artisan is the latest innovation in the art of crafting diamonds from Leo Schachter. The visibly brighter Leo Artisan must be seen, and you can see it at Jared today.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Four sex offenders in Missouri are suing over a new state law that restricts their activities on Halloween. CBS News correspondent Carrie McCormick has the story.
Missouri's law requires convicted sex offenders to stay inside their homes on Halloween, turn their lights off, and post a sign that says no candy at this residence. The bill's sponsor was Senator John Loudon.
It's absolutely crazy, the notion that we would want sexual predators opening their doors to children on Halloween.
Tony Rothard of the ACLU of Eastern Missouri says this law is more stringent than other states and goes too far.
Our primary complaint is that it's imposing additional penalties, effectively house arrest, on individuals who've already served their time.
Tammy McCormick, CBS News.
Fish pedicures, a fad that's been catching on in salons around the country, have been banned in Texas. State authorities say they have health concerns about multiple customers soaking their feet in baths while hundreds of fish nibble the dead skin from their feet. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Most weekends, going to the mall could help you change your wardrobe or home for the better. But this weekend, it could change your whole life. Because this weekend, you can experience a major breakthrough in sleep technology. The Sleep Number Bed, an innovative revolution in comfort that can offer no less than a wonderful night's sleep for an individual or a couple, simply because you control your total comfort. Everyone can discover their sleep number at a select comfort store. It's fast, fun, and free. Visit us this weekend to discover your sleep number on our newest, most advanced sleep systems with temperature control materials. What can happen when you find that number? Well, among other things, a perfect night's sleep for the rest of your life. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
Now through Columbus Day, October 13th, choose cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 years with approval on our entire line of beds. Or save $500 on the new Sleep Number Memory Foam Queen Bed Set. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yow! Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You know the rules. No shirt, no shoes, no problem. It's a nice hot fall day around San Francisco Bay, almost up to 90 degrees here.
Coming up, so you
lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There is so much to talk about. Share your comments with me about last night's debate between McCain and Obama in Nashville. The almost town hall meeting format left me very disappointed. I'm in some agreement with the guys at the Politico who said this is one of the most boring debates ever. But as we've discussed with a couple of guests already today, I'm grappling with the idea that I want to see Barack Obama confront the smears and the sliming that are being delivered on a daily basis to partisan crowds by Palin and McCain. At the same time, I respect his amazing self-control, his focus, the calm demeanor that he projects in every one of these public appearances. And I respect that he can take those nicks and hits and knife twists from McCain and stay focused on the issues. So I'm not suggesting that he get way down in the gutter and use the exact same tactics that are being used on him. But as I said to John Nichols about an hour ago, I'm concerned that with the final debate next Wednesday, the last 2.5 weeks of the campaign will be relegated to corporate media coverage and the paid nasty commercials on television. And Obama's got some commercials out there that hit. Some of them at factcheck.org don't quite measure up. I understand that. And I don't excuse it or rationalize it. But even with that, it's fair to say that the Obama campaign is not using below-the-belt attacks. They haven't responded to the Bill Ayers sliming by saying, you know, what about G. Gordon Liddy? What about Charlie Keating? Well, the Charlie Keating thing has come out, but Obama doesn't bring those things up in his speeches, and he certainly doesn't confront McCain with them directly. So again, my concern is that if he doesn't deal with Bill Ayers, if he doesn't deal with the way he is being guilted by association, that these issues will linger. And while the polls are encouraging, my take is that Obama needs a 10-point cushion to win. And it's roughly 5% for racism and 5% for graft and corruption in our election process. We know that many people will respond to the polls and say, oh yeah, I'll vote for the Democrat. But with lingering racism in this country, we must expect that on Election Day, many of those who told pollsters they'll vote for Obama will not. I peg that at roughly 5%. And then there's our electoral process, which continues to be riddled with problems. Many people will vote on machines that are hackable. We've seen that even the optical scanners that take a paper ballot and tabulate them have problems. And then, of course, we know, because we talk about this every week with Brad Friedman, that there is a concerted, dedicated, long-term effort by Republicans to suppress voter turnout and block participation by minorities and likely Democratic voters in every way they can. And I credit Paul Waldman from Media Matters. He led off our show today. Read his column at MediaMatters.org because he is properly sounding the alarm about the election itself. And we must make sure that Obama gets a copy of the Stand for Voters pledge. You can read it at StandingForVoters.org. And it's a couple of sentences long. I, Barack Obama, pledge to use my candidacy whenever feasible to advance the preservation of democracy. I will officially challenge the results of the election as provided by law if the combination of election conditions, incident reports, and announced results calls into question the reliability of the official vote count. I will wait until all valid votes are counted and all serious challenges resolved before declaring victory or conceding defeat. I think that's very important. And I hope the Democrats are starting to get the message. I've got a hero this week. He is Ricardo M. Urbina, a district court federal judge in Washington. He's the man who has called the Bush administration to account for the illegal detention of individuals at Guantanamo Bay. And initially 17 of these Chinese Muslims called Uyghurs, spelled U-I-G-H-U-R-S. The Uyghurs have been ordered delivered to his courtroom this Friday morning at 10 a.m. And he plans to release them. I'm sure the Bushies will do everything they can to stop him, but that doesn't diminish my respect for Judge Ricardo M. Urbina. He knows the law, he knows an innocent man when he sees the case, and he's not afraid to stand for justice, and I think that's very, very important. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Talk about the debate, talk about the campaign, talk about any of the issues we've been discussing today, or bring up one of your own. 888-573-8372. Up first, it's Tony in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, Peter B. I'll put my San Lorenzo River view against your San Francisco Bay view any day.
Okay.
I'm just sitting 50 yards off the shore looking down on a tranquil river. I called you before the bailout vote, and I told you that it was all about derivatives. And then I gave you this, I gave you the math on what derivatives, the exposure of derivatives, 17 planet poles of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Kucinich's website, 1,000 trillion is a quadrillion. And that is the exposure of the derivative market. And I told you that the bailout was really a cover for bailing out the derivative mess. I don't know if you recall that.
I do.
Yeah, okay. So what the Democrats have done, or maybe people of both parties, they've made George Bush the most powerful lame duck president in the history of the world. I've got economists that are saying that this bailout is going to affect us for two or three centuries because it's essentially a reversal of the capitalistic idea. We have socialism for the capitalists or for the corporations and fascism for the poor people.
Yeah.
So that's what we've got. And I'm thinking of going to see Sam Farr in about an hour in Watsonville. He's got an open meeting there.
Uh-huh.
And ask him why the Democrats couldn't see that they were making George Bush the most powerful lame duck president by bailing out all the criminals. And actually, they're still in business, and they're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars by distributing these billions of largesse that we've given them. Because, you know, brokers make money on the way up and the way down. They get percentages.
Oh, you bet. And by putting a Goldman Sachs guy in charge of the bailout, the Treasury Secretary, the former chairman of Goldman Sachs, is going to make sure that the golden egg that is paying for his retirement remains untouched. Now, Tony, if you see Sam Farr, give him our regards and tell him we understand this was a very difficult vote, and I respectfully disagree with the decision that he made.
Yeah.
And offer this, because this was a powerful metaphor that came in, and I can't right now put my finger on the email, but I believe it's a listener from the Monterey area who said, Peter, it's this simple. Compare this to a car that has broken down on the side of the road, and it broke down because it ran out of oil. All right?
Yeah.
And so you call a tow truck, and they come over and fill up the gas tank. And that's kind of what Congress did. They didn't solve the problem of an engine that doesn't have enough oil. They filled up the gas tank.
Right. What I say is that when you have crises like these, you find both parties on the same side of the issue. It sort of goes a long way to prove what a lot of people are contending, that they're really one party. When the chips are down, they really are one party. So,
I'm sorry to say that is too accurate. We have an incumbent party that is dependent on campaign contributions from, you know, wealthy interests like Wall Street, and there's just no question that our elected leaders looked to the people who caused this problem and who had their hands out and said, oh, sure.
I'm 73 years old, so I have to say something that I want to say before. I was cut off last time, and basically I wanted to say that that you guys, yeah, you seem to be the most representative liberal on the radio. I listen to Air America, and I've decided to change Air America's name to Error America, E-R-R-O-R,
all right,
for several reasons, because they don't seem to be pointing up some of the obvious faults in, as you say, Obama has some problems. And in his first debate, I turned off the debate when he called Venezuela a rogue nation.
Mm-hmm.
After we tried to assassinate him twice and the people don't seem to know that the National Endowment for Democracy is 90% CIA funded. and we try to put the rich against Chavez in two different elections. And Jimmy Carter said their elections were more fair than ours were. So to call Chavez the head of a rogue nation is really going a little bit too far to the right for me.
Well, I'm an independent, and I call him as I see him. I'm not afraid to criticize Barack Obama, and I agree with you about Chavez. He's a complicated character. He has done some things that I certainly don't approve of. But
after we did it to him. You know?
Yeah, the central issue is that Bush tried twice to depose him, and that does tend to piss a guy off, doesn't it?
And it drives him to the left.
Yes, it drives him to our enemies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
he's dealing with Russia now, that's for sure.
Tony, did you get to say everything you wanted?
I did, thank you, and I'll give you a message and my message to Sam Farr. Thank you.
Real good, all right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tony. 888-5 Peter B. Your call can be next here in the free speed zone. I've got lines open, and I want to hear from you. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Starting in Monterey, Highway 1 northbound at 12th Street. We've got a collision reported. No injuries. A burgundy Ford Mustang is on the right-hand side. We've got a hazard on northbound 101 just south of Front Street in Salinas. Apparently some tires in the road there. And San Juan Grade Road at Crazy Horse Road in Monterey County. We've got somebody trying to flag down traffic there, so be on the lookout. in Santa Cruz, Highway 9, just north of Graham Hill Road. We've got a hazard reported. And finally in King City, County Road 19, just south of County Road 18, is a collision with some minor injuries, still slowing traffic there. Well, enjoy the beautiful day, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Mr. Collins and the Ray-Bans there. Hey, I neuralize you, huh? You won't feel a thing and you'll forget it all.
You good guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB.
888-5-PETER-B, that's my toll-free number here. The free speech zone is underway today, and your calls are welcome here. I wanted to invite your comments on something briefly here. Jerome Corsi is the Swift Boat guy. He wrote the crap about Kerry in 2004, and he has a book out about Obama riddled with lies called Obamanation. He recently went to Kenya, apparently to do some research on Obama's father. And his departure from the country has a couple of different stories. Not sure which one is true, whether he was booted out or left with cops in hot pursuit. But his media guy just sent me an email. It's wedged in between these emails. I don't know how they get through the spam filter. They're entirely in Russian script and Cyrillic. But anyway, they're offering me an interview with Jerome Corsi. Now, you realize what this would entail. I'd have to actually read his book. What's your counsel? Should we invite this creep on the show in order to dispatch him? Or just let sleeping dogs enjoy their fleas? Let me know what you think. You know my number, 888-573-8372. Ben and Salinas, welcome.
You know what, Peter? You never pass up a chance to talk to your enemy. Whatever this bum, whatever he is, let him come on and say his piece and just pick him apart. It's time that we engaged these Republicans that have not finished looting the country. It's the time we engage them in verbal intercourse or in legal intercourse and put the SOBs that have committed treason in the prisons they belong in.
Well, I'll talk to him, but no intercourse.
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, you know what? Here's my take on what Obama's doing. He needs to stop talking that crap about deploying troops into Afghanistan for this reason. The Afghani people have never done anything to us, just like the Iraqis have never done anything to us. They were our allies. We built the Tora Bora cave system with the CIA and those drilling machines they have. We built that. We know what's going on there. But as we're told, he's hiding in Pakistan. Hiding in Pakistan. Well, why in the hell are we spilling blood in Afghanistan? And anyway, Barack Obama needs to stop adding validity to George Bush's story of what happened on 9/11. As far as I know, Bin Laden hasn't even been legally indicted.
Right.
So we're presuming we're attacking this country and this person because Cheney and Bush, does the monster go get him?
We need to make sure. I want to hear Obama publicly acknowledge this cable riddled with honest talk from the British ambassador to Kabul, who says that it's our military occupation that is the problem.
They know that. And as far as this bailout goes, we need to call our Congress and say, only dish that out in increments of $100 billion.
Hey,
and
after
$100 billion, before they sign the next check, come to us and tell us who got it and where it went.
Hey, get this, Ben.
Communistic for us to ask what's going on with our treasury.
Our government gave a bailout to this big insurance company, AIG. They said you can have up to $85 billion, and it was supposed to last for at least a year. They initially drew down more than $50 billion. They've now tapped the whole thing, and another $37 billion was advanced by the Treasury Department today.
And it turns out that AIG was started off with $60 billion and is a CIA asset. Now swallow that one with your dinner.
It's also got a big piece of Goldman Sachs wrapped up in there. Thank you, Ben. Now to Mike and Aptos. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, Mike.
Hey, Peter B. Just three things real quick. My frustration about Obama not being more pointed during the debate, but I can't argue with what seems to be working, but he missed an opportunity last night when Brokaw asked both of them that is the economy going to get worse before it gets better? I think he should have said, if you elect the Republicans and, you know, my opponent here, it will get worse, something like that.
Yeah.
But he's not naming names. You know, he talks in general, like he says, this administration for the last 8 years, or he should say George Bush, the Republicans. Tie it all into McCain, you know.
Well, he does mention Bush pretty often, but your point is accurate. In one case, he was returning fire about lobbyists, and he said, look, your top campaign, he called him his chairman, it's Rick Davis,
right,
was on the payroll of Fannie Mae, and he should have used Davis' name because,
right,
you know, people really need to hear that with specificity.
Exactly.
Just to say one of your guys is pretty easy for him to toss off.
I thought the exact same thing when he didn't name Davis's name.
Mm-hmm.
And, specificity, that's a good, I said point of it, that's a better term. Then the other, the surge in Afghanistan idea, I mean, I don't believe that it worked in Iraq like they claim it did, but even if it did, that's predominantly an urban country, you know. Probably 75% of the people live in cities.
Yeah.
Well, you can bring a force to bear, you know, and stuff. You can't do that in Afghanistan where people are spread out all around the countryside. And I mean, it's just insane. They seem to get one, like the Republicans, every economic problem, the solution is cut taxes.
Yep.
And now militarily, every military problem, is the solution is a surge.
You know why? Because it shows up in focus groups.
Exactly.
It tests well. People understand that concept, and it's a buzzword that they buy.
Exactly.
Thank you for your call, Mike. Always great to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. We're going to talk briefly with David Wheeler coming up next about how you can refinance your mortgage, and then we'll take more of your calls. Grab a line now. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
You think this show would be better if it was scripted and rehearsed? I doubt it. Are you desperately trying to hold on to your house? On fire due to an escalating mortgage? Underwater due to payments you can't make? Well, particularly for our listeners in Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas, along the central coast of California, there are some people standing by who can help you. David Wheeler joins us now. He and his colleague, Alan Kaplan, have formed MDS, which stands for Mortgage Delinquency Solutions. David, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be with you. And I think it is a good idea that we do this unscripted.
Okay. Good. I don't have time to write one. Now, you've been in the mortgage business for more than 20 years. You've teamed up with Alan Kaplan, who Monterey people will know as one of the founders of Lawyers on Duty. And tell us what you're doing with this new operation, Mortgage Delinquency Solutions.
Sure, be happy to, Peter. What happened was in February, Alan called me to his office and he said, I've got some clients. They bought a house a couple of years ago. They paid $400,000 for it. A couple of years later, they took $150,000 cash out. They had a negative amortization loan with a start rate of 1%. Now, a couple of years later, the payments have gone from $1,000 to $6,000.
Ouch.
They've got $550,000 worth of loan on their property, and the property may be worth around $200,000.
Ooh.
And he said, can you help these people out? And, Peter, I couldn't do it. And, mm-hmm. and Alan was getting maybe one or two calls a week. And then he was getting two or three calls a day. And we see in Monterey County and Santa Cruz County, record number of people are losing their homes. And we just felt, this is a crisis right here in our own backyard, and the government is paralyzed. They don't know what to do. The lenders, the banks, put these things in mortgage-backed securities and sold them on Wall Street, and you can't unwind those.
Yeah, it's like trying to find the ham in Spam.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy. So we said, gosh, this is awful. These are, you know, people who were working hard every day paying they're trying to pay their mortgage, and they see the value of their house just plummet, and nobody had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we came up with a way to keep, if people wanted to stay in their house, and that's the first thing that we always ask, do you want to stay in your home? If people are abandoning their home or don't want to stay there, we're not interested, they wouldn't be our client.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have not had the notice of default recorded, then we can help them. And primarily what we do is this. It's pretty simple. We go in and we will negotiate with the lender. So in the case that we just talked about, there's $550,000 worth of bank debt on a house that's worth $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we will go in and we will negotiate with the lender, and we will make that lender an all-cash offer to settle that debt that's on that house. And then we find out what the market rent would be. And let's say the market rent is $1,500 for the house in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We will then rent the house back to the person that we set, that was the original borrower for $1,500 a month with a two-year lease and a two-year option if they want it.
Okay.
Then within 2 years, if they wish to repurchase the house, we'll sell the house back to them at 160% of what we paid for it. So if we paid $100,000 to settle the debt,
mm-hmm.
we'll sell it back to them for $160,000.
Okay.
Or they can continue to live there and rent there if they don't want to repurchase it. If we sell the house within 5 years, we'll give them 20% of the net profit on the sale of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that do? Number one, it means that a person doesn't have to leave their home. They don't have the expense of moving. They don't have the expense of first and last month's rent going someplace new. They don't disrupt their family. And it gives them the chance to repurchase their home at a really reasonable price. And what happened is, as most people know who are listening, I'm sure, The market went crazy from about 2000 to about 2007. People buy a house for 400 and flip it for 500, and then somebody else would flip it for 6. Well, those days are gone.
Right.
And the market is in complete meltdown right now. And we look at the $800 billion bailout that had no provisions, absolutely none, to help people that are drastically over upside down in their house. And then you look at the settlement that the Attorney General just made with Bank of America and Washington Mutual. That is not really going to help very many people either, because it's limited to only the loans that Washington Mutual has in their portfolio.
It's countrywide, David.
Countrywide.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the WaMu is still in play between Chase and Wachovia.
Yeah. Somebody. Yeah, right about that.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we're doing, people. Peter, is to help people stay in their homes.
So do you have a pile of capital there that you can use for these buy-ups and workouts?
Yes, and that's our advantage. When we make the offer to the lender, we are settling for cash with a five-day close.
Mm-hmm.
No contingencies other than that we get clear title to the property and that the borrowers are relieved of all liens and obligations on the property.
Mm.
And we have myself and Alan and two other investors. It's our money.
Well, David, this is fascinating, and I think it's a very creative approach on your part. I have not run these numbers, so I'm not prepared to put any stamp on it and say, oh, this is the way.
Right.
But you're working with the people to keep them in their homes. You're working with the lenders to get them to set a realistic liquidation value on that mortgage. And I think that these are the kinds of strategies that we need to be employing, because the fundamentals are clear to me. We need to keep people in their homes. We need to do what we can to soften the landing here as equities continue to drop, and find out, you know, what these properties really are worth, so that people can evaluate that and see if they can find a way to finance them into the future. And I think that I really appreciate what you and Alan are doing here, and I hope that people will call and get more information. Now, here's your phone number, 831-372-9500. Get ready for it to ring there, David. 831-372-9500. And do you have a website up?
We do not yet. We've spent all of our time putting this program together, and we're in the initial stages of it. We're just now taking clients, and we have not had a turn down by a single bank. Every bank is talking with us. And I think we're going to be successful because one of the things we do is we put together a package that includes an income-based appraisal so that we're bringing the values to what they really are, so that somebody doesn't have to do a liar loan. Somebody who's making $2,000 a month doesn't have to say that they make $10,000 a month, as was happening a year and a half ago,
yeah.
So that they can still live in the same house with their real income and not some inflated magical income.
Right. So it's Mortgage Delinquency Solutions, and the number again is 831-372-9500, 831-372-9500. David Wheeler, thanks.
Thank you, Peter B. Collins. It was great talking with you, and I've always been a fan of yours.
Well, thanks. I hope it hasn't changed.
It hasn't. Thanks
right.
So much, Peter.
Well, I think that's an interesting approach. If you're in that underwater situation, call David Wheeler and Alan Kaplan and see if they can help you. I think it's a very interesting package that they're offering there, Mortgage Delinquency Solutions, and I hope you get to stay in your home. 888-5 Peter B. Room for more of your calls here in the Free Speed Zone. Grab a line right now, 888-573-8372. Here's Nancy in Winters. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today.
Okay, it was so good to meet you at the Teach Peace dinner. That was fun.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I got to meet your son, too.
Yeah, yeah, that was
great. We found out our connection to B Street over in San Rafael.
That's right. We have all kinds of old home week, huh?
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I was going to make a couple comments about the possible election fraud and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sent out an email to all my email list urging people to check Brad Blog, and also I put a little I cut and pasted a section from one of his postings on there as well, just talking about the things that are going on and the fact that the Democrats need to be standing up as a party and talking about it, which they're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought another thing that I also mentioned in this is a caller to Tom Hartman's show had suggested that the day after the election, if it has been stolen, that people should get out in the street peacefully
mm-hmm.
and demonstrate. And so I'm also including that. And I just like to encourage other people to do the same. Now, I don't know if people will do this, but I know to me it's worth sending it out there. And because her point, the caller's point, was that if the last election was stolen, when the last election was stolen, she and others that worked with her wanted to do something, but they didn't know what. And
yeah.
So she wants people to think about it ahead of time.
Well, I think we need to look to Ukraine.
That's exactly the other thing I was going to say. I put in my email.
Mm-hmm. Because Ukraine had an election shortly after ours in late November of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It was stolen, no question about it. And even an election thief like George W. Bush recognized it. And he and other world leaders called on them to rerun that election. And, in fact, they did. But part of the reason was there was an orange revolution.
Right.
And people went to the streets of Ukraine using orange as their unifying color. We could borrow that from our mm-hmm. friends at Caltrans. And I think that it's a really important model because
mm-hmm.
it really does bother me, Nancy, that in both 2000 and 2004, those of us who recognized the heist that was underway really were powerless.
Right.
And we felt, you know, the best we could do is go home and watch the corporate news every night and hope that we would get something encouraging. But we really need to be strong and in a peaceful, nonviolent way, stand and assert our rights. And I think it's very important, and in particular, given the polling that we see right now, where Obama is up roughly 7 to 9 points in most of the battleground states, and if the exit polls show a similar or greater margin, and then the official tally on election night comes up short, we can't sit on our hands. We can't wait for lawyers to take action. We need to step out the following day and let people know that we will not let a third election be stolen from us in this country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And That's one of the things I noted on my email was about the Orange Revolution, and I did mention that Bush thought it was a great idea, so he should think that if we do it, it's okay too.
Takes one to know one.
Exactly.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sure. Bye bye.
Great to talk to you again. 888-5 Peter B. We're heading into the home stretch. There's still room for your call here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsworth with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Starting in Monterey, northbound Highway 1 at 12th Street, we've got a collision, no injuries. That is the Burgundy Ford Mustang on the right-hand side. California Highway Patrol is on the scene. Highway 101 northbound, just south of Front Street. We've got tires reported to be in the roadway there. CHP is responding. We've also got a traffic hazard, San Juan Grade Road at Crazy Horse Road. That is an individual reported to be trying to interfere with traffic. And finally, we've got this problem down in King City for some time. Highway 19, just south of Highway 18. And that collision has been keeping traffic slow in that area all day. Listen to Garrick's A540. Enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up after this.
Robbins Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robbins Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robbins Jewelry in Carmel.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Meet somebody in a bar. They say, take me home tonight. Make sure the sheriff hasn't padlocked the doors.
Take me home tonight. I don't wanna let you go. Please take me home.
Money, Money, and Ronnie Spector there. That's Take Me Home Tonight. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for joining us here on Your Ride Home Tonight. Or if you're listening in San Francisco, thanks for staying up till the middle of the night. Bill Press will be on in a few minutes if you can stand it. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. All lines are available right now. I want to tip my hat to Russell in Royal Oak, Michigan. Dedicated podcast listener of this program. Thank you, Russell. He sent me some links to a powerful set of speeches by Brad Sherman, and we've invited Congressman Sherman on the program. We're just having trouble scheduling it. It may still happen this week. Brad Sherman and I go back to the 90s when he was a member of the obscure California Board of Equalization, and they handle tax disputes. So he knows fiscal stuff backward and forward. And Brad got himself elected to Congress. He is the Sherman in Sherman Oaks, although it was called Sherman Oaks well before he came along. And I was pleased to see in the recorded votes that Brad Sherman voted against the bailout twice. But it was Russell who sent me the link to the YouTube clips that really opened my eyes to the powerful statements that Brad Sherman made, not just in opposition to the terms of the bailout, but to the fear-mongering of the Bush administration, including a threat of potential martial law being imposed if Congress didn't pass the bailout. Let's listen to Brad Sherman here for a minute. See what
Eddie from Ohio. The only way they can.
Let me just say that this is a brief clip, and he gave a lengthy speech under what are called special orders. When the House is not in session, a member can take the floor and give a speech for up to an hour. And this was going when Congress was not actively in session because they were just minutes away from last week's vice presidential debate being started. And here is Brad Sherman.
We passed this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall. The market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering. Unjustified. Proven wrong. We've got a week, we've got 2 weeks to write a good bill. The only way to write, to pass a bad bill, keep the panic pressure on. Now, what has the Senate done to this bill?
So that is the stunning excerpt of Brad Sherman's speech. To my knowledge, the only one who's publicly stated this threat of martial law. Now, you don't have to be Looney Tunes or out there in the conspiracy tin hat zone to know that Bush signed Executive Order 51, that the Army Times has recently reported that a unit that has returned from Iraq is on duty in the United States, and their mission is to patrol in the United States in the event of a huge natural disaster or a civil disturbance. We know that quietly the Posse Comitatus Act was neutered a couple of years ago. That explicitly prohibited the military from operating inside the United States. So you don't have to be totally paranoid or even real paranoid to see the outlines here, to understand that when people like me or guests on this program use the term fascism, it's not done lightly. It's not just a term, you know, a buzzword, a hot button term that we can use to get reaction from people. It is a valid description of the collusion between industry and government with a garnish of religion that militates against the interests of the average American. Naomi Wolf was on our program a week and a half ago, and I read to her a list of 14 factors that Professor Lawrence Britt culled from his study of fascist regimes in the past, including Stalin and Hitler and Mussolini and Pinochet in Chile. Those 14 factors, I don't have them in front of me right now, but they describe and define many aspects of the condition in our country right now. And so we're going to stay on Brad Sherman's staff until we get him on the program, because I want to know more about members of Congress who were warned that martial law would break out, would be imposed, if the bailout passed. If it failed. And when it did fail the first time, we had no martial law. We didn't have 2,000-point drops in the market. The huge drops in the market have come since it was clear the bailout would pass. I want to thank Chris, a loyal listener in Salinas, and I know a strong union member, who emailed me a story about a man whose name was first mentioned here yesterday, Neil Kashkari. He has been appointed by the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, to lead the bailout team. Prior to joining the Treasury Department, Mr. Kashkari was a vice president of Goldman Sachs in San Francisco, where he led Goldman's IT security investment banking practice. Then he went to the Treasury Department, where he helped prepare the recently passed bailout. He's only 35 years old. His history highlights the extraordinary influence of Goldman Sachs. And as we know, Goldman is, I guess, a $20 billion creditor of AIG, the insurance giant that just got another bailout today on top of the $85 billion already delivered. So I encourage you to learn more about Mr. Kashkari. His name is spelled K-A-S-H-K-A-R-I, and he spells Neil with two E's. He's the guy to watch, and according to this item that Chris sent me, he's already in motion, hiring contractors, corporate contractors. Hopefully Halliburton or a subsidiary won't be one of them. But it's going to be the regular figures, the people who benefited from the run-up on Wall Street, the people who created this mess. They're going to be given the sweetheart no-bid contracts to fix it. Watch your wallet.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The market was up, the market was down. It was up again, but when the closing bell rang, it was down. The Dow lost 189 points to close at 9,258, despite an interest rate cut by the Fed and other central banks. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus is following this story.
When you have fear running a stock market, even things that are logical aren't going to help the situation. Look, world banks came together and cut interest rates, sending a major sign to banks around the world that they are there and able to help. And that didn't do much. And the banks are just not confident enough to open the spigots and to start lending to folks. And until that happens, we're going to see this crisis continue on Wall Street.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says the government's moving as fast as it can on the economic rescue plan.
Getting it right is as important as getting it done quickly. We can and we will do both.
But he says the turmoil will not end quickly and significant challenges remain ahead. Post-debate, the presidential candidates were back on the trail today.
All we heard from Senator McCain was more of the same Bush economics that led us into this mess in the first place.
Barack Obama spoke at a rally in Indianapolis. John McCain joined running mate Sarah Palin in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
If Senator Obama is such a champion of financial regulation, why didn't he support these regulations that could have prevented this crisis in the first place?
Palin described Obama as a guy who's just tried to talk his way into the White House. Her rival Joe Biden was in Tampa attacking McCain. He said, "You can't call yourself a maverick when all you've ever been is a sidekick." The Supreme Court heard arguments today on the Navy's sonar exercises in the Pacific. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
It's a head-on collision between whales and the U.S. Navy, and it brought America's top admirals to the Supreme Court asking to throw out a ruling that restricts their use of sonar during training. The case is centered off the California coast, where the Navy practices finding enemy submarines. Ships send out a sound wave looking for the silent subs. Here's what it sounds like to humans.